There will be another delay in the release of the report reviewing the response of the Lansing Board of Water and Light to last December's huge ice storm. Several sources, including our next guest, have told WKAR the highly anticipated findings of the independent community review team are likely to be announced in early May. The panel's report was first targeted for March 31st, but then postponed until about mid-April. To update this matter and others involving the utility, Current State welcomes back the vice chair of the BWL Board of Commissioners, Dennis Lowney. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for coming in. We do appreciate it. Sandy Zirkle, your board's president, told me late Friday that she heard from General Manager Peter Lark that the CRT report could take until early May, but her belief was probably it would take no more than a week into the month. What's your understanding?
I think by the second week in May, they'll be done with it. It's been pretty comprehensive. I know I've talked both with General McDaniel and some other members, actually had been asked to testify to them on some of my insights that I saw.
Okay.
And in compiling the information, I think they really wanted to be very specific. And what that entailed was really going through and interviewing employees, interviewing some of the municipalities, and not just looking at what were the problems, but what are the solutions? Is it part of the organizational structure? Is it part of internal operations? Is it part of the software? So I think they're really trying to take a large overview of really what is the problem here and why did this happen and how can it be prevented in the future.
They want to dig deeper then.
Yes.
Okay. And that's what the delay is accountable to. It's
correct.
Just that desire to dig deeper and to really offer a more substantive final report.
Well, and I think the other part is if you look at the composition of those members on that CRT team, you've got a wide diversity of people from neighborhood activists to city managers to Cooley Law professors. And so to bring those people together and coordinate their schedules, that has certainly been a difficult task in some ways.
Are you, we will remind our listeners that the members of the CRT serve voluntarily as well. Virtually all of them have other full-time jobs. Are you and the other members of the board communicating much with General McDaniel and other members of the CRT?
Not that I'm aware of. I've gotten occasional emails from him. I attended all the hearings that they had and talked to him a couple times. And I know some of the members on the CRT, and so I reached out to them just to give them my insights.
I'm being informed, by the way, ironically, that we are 4 months to the day since the ice storm struck here in Lansing. Last week, the Lansing State Journal reported, and you acknowledged, that the board was not informed of 10 safety violations and of more than $10,000 in state penalties paid stemming from a 2011 incident at the Wise Road water plant. A lot of our listeners will remember that. I remember that. Indeed, the paper reported that you and board members David Price and Cynthia Ward said you learned about the fines from the Lansing State Journal when it called. From your perspective, what went wrong here?
In regards to the fines or in regards to the overall?
In regards to your learning about the fines from the newspaper when they called.
Right. When this incident occurred in 2011, we were first informed of the basics of what had happened and how the accident had occurred. At that time, they were doing an investigation, and we were told we would get an update. It had been a while since we had an update, and several members had asked for that update earlier this year. But based on the ice storm and the issues we encountered, we put that off. So the last committee of the whole meeting, I asked for an update, and it was given by the general manager and by Dick Peffley, who handles a lot of our operations. And they gave a presentation in regards to what the fixes were and really what how financially it impacted us. But at no time did they mention that there were MyOSHA violations. So later on, Steve Reed had asked for more information on it and found out that there, and Steve Reed is the Lansing State Journal reporter.
Right.
They had asked for more information, and he discovered that there were MyOSHA violations. And he called me and a couple other members, as you indicated, on the board, Cynthia Ward and David Price, and asked what our thoughts were on those. And I indicated that I had not been informed. We get regular monthly updates from the general manager in regards to any legal action that's occurring, and I would have thought that this would have been included with that information. But to give an update to our board in regards to an accident that occurred and not comment on my OSHA violations, to me, was very disturbing to the board. And I know that at least one board member did talk to the general manager afterwards to make sure it was very clear that that didn't occur again.
Hmm. Yeah, according to the State Journal article, you and others requested information for 32 months. And until Dick Pefley responded at this last meeting that you just referred to, you didn't get anything. And indeed, when Mr. Pefley offered his description, it offered what the paper described as a silver lining scenario. Quote, no injuries, substantial insurance reimbursement, and a virtually new plant nearing its full nearing its return to full automation, no mention of fines, and a round of applause from those attending. What is wrong with this scenario? How do you correct this? Who does this fall to for the board to be aware of something so important?
Well, it's a shared diligence, I think. It falls basically on management. It's their responsibility to inform the board, but it's also the board's responsibility to request information. I think it's been made very clear to the general manager that these are important issues. If it's a state violation, if we're violating state law, that we need to be informed as a board.
Sure.
In talking to the general manager, he indicated that he thought that was operations, that at times they may get notices on a MEOSHA violation, they're mitigated, they may be dismissed. In fact, I know some of the violations were actually dismissed and the fines were reduced, that the initial request from the state showing the violations, several of those were pared down after information was supplied. But getting back to answer your question, really it's management's responsibility to keep us informed.
Should that disclosure have been in one of these monthly reports from the general manager that you alluded to earlier? Is that your opinion?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think the board, I mean, the article did not make the board look good. Does the board need to take a more aggressive approach to getting information like this?
I would say yes, and I think we're starting to do that. We're starting to use our committee of the whole as more of an investigatory type of committee where we can start asking more questions. We've discussed creating another committee, an IT committee, to review when technology is introduced. For instance, a lot of the problems with the ice storm occurred due to an outage management system that was not working correctly. We should have been better informed on that, but it's also our responsibility to look into these things, to be responsible for that. So I think it was a learning lesson, and we made mistakes, and I don't want to say that the board should be absolved of anything, but we are volunteers, we do have jobs, and part of our responsibility and oversight is really asking more questions, and we need to do a better job of that. And
how hard do you expect that to be, Dennis? I mean, getting that information, does this represent a real difference in approach as to how the board gets information and how aggressive it's accustomed to being?
I think it's a change of culture in some ways, because things have operated smoothly at the Board of Water and Light. Things have worked effectively. But what we're starting to see is a pattern here where there was information that wasn't shared with the board that perhaps we could have asked for changes, or we could have done a better job investigating it to find out why was this being delayed, or should we hold off on that. We ultimately are responsible for oversight, but we aren't responsible for the day-to-day operations. So there's a fine line between coming in and trying to micromanage as opposed to providing good oversight. And I think what we're finding now is we need to dig deeper. We need to ask the general manager. We need to ask the CFO. We need to look into our technology and start to say that, well, we put a new system in place and everything's working. There were a couple bugs. Well, what bugs were those? What are we doing to address those? Mm-hmm. And in the past, those seemed to be handled. But I think what we're finding is, and I think this was due to the economy and the changes. If you look back to when we went through that economic recession and the GM plants closed, we lost, that was our biggest customer. We had a huge bill that they did not pay and when they went into bankruptcy. So when you look at that, the mantra that we've heard as a board over the past 4 years really has been, we're doing more with less. Well, I think less caught up with us at this time. And if you go through the storm outage report, that we're getting updates at every committee of the whole meeting. We've got a timeline of when those 54 recommendations will be implemented. I think when you look at that, you start to see, well, they're hiring in this, in customer service area. They're hiring in tree trimming. Those were areas where you try to control the rates. You don't want to continue to ask for rate increases. But you also have to look at what's impacting you with federal guidelines for mercury emissions. That was part of the purpose of building the new plant, because we would have faced some huge fines there, that then those costs would have been passed back to our ratepayers. So it's not an easy situation, but I think what we're doing is we're trying to weigh those benefits of how can we deliver the best service to our customers at an affordable cost.
A lot of public ire has been focused on Peter Lark, as we all know. Are you concerned with how you and other board members might be assessed in the CRT report?
I said it in early January or late February. We didn't do our job. And I say that to the sense that we should have provided better oversight on this as a board. And I'm not making an excuse. We are volunteers. But I think we have a responsibility to our customers and to the public when we sit on that board. And we are doing a better job. I know all of the board members, we've made a commitment to making sure this is going to be fixed and it's not going to happen again. And I've said many times I apologize to all our customers. We didn't handle this well. We made mistakes. But as long as I'm on the board, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen again.
One result of the BWL's internal review was this set of 54 action items, reforms that the utility is moving forward on. What can you tell us about those?
Well, I think as we heard in the public hearings, there were a lot of issues that came up. And this was an internal investigation, and there was a lot of skepticism, obviously, that, oh, you're going to investigate yourself, and then you're going to fix everything and move on, and it's really not going to fix things. So you're just giving us lip service. This was a pretty comprehensive report. I had a lot of questions when it was released. So did other board members. We spent 3.5 hours going through it. I had more than 10 pages of questions. I felt very comfortable coming out of that committee of the whole meeting that the board was able to answer that the management was able to answer that. Now, the recommendations are great if you have recommendations and you implement them. So what we've made a commitment as a board to is we wanted timelines, we wanted completion dates, we wanted updates at every month at our committee of the whole to say, where are we at? And at the end of the year, we're going to have a hearing, probably a committee of the whole hearing, and give a report that we'll issue to show what has been done. What was this like a year ago? And what were our problems? And what have we done to correct those? So that we can assure our customers that we're taking care of the problems. We listen to their concerns.
Do you think that the 54 action items, is the aim there to preempt a lot of the findings that the community review team will probably include in its final report? In a way to demonstrate, hey, we're already on a lot of these things? Is that
I think so.
Part of the aim here?
I think so. I mean, we had a storm that hit us that was unlike any other storm. And we found problems within our organization. So moving forward, we asked for an internal investigation to figure out how did this happen and how are we going to prevent it in the future? There's always a concern that it's the fox guarding the hen house and we're not fixing our problems. So I think the mayor wanted to make sure that there was due diligence in investigating, and he appointed the CRT team. So are we preempting them? I think being a good organization, we're just doing what we should be doing. I think the CRT team is going to have more recommendations, and we'll be working with them to help implement them.
Dennis Lowney is vice chair of the Board of Commissioners for the Lansing Board of Water and Light. We've been talking, we've been updating all matters BWL here. Dennis, we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Have a great day.